You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Hey, everybody, this is Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist with the next episode of Inspire Excellence. Tommy's on special assignment, so he'll be back next week. But right now, I've got a really, truly amazing Idaho innovator and guest, Mr. Chris Rogers and Jeannie Rogers. Yeah. They started Rapid Rope. Rapid Rope, if you haven't heard about it, is absolutely incredible. But I want to get into it. Before I even talk to Chris, we want to talk to Jeannie about Dax. And Jeannie, because how did we meet?
We met 3 years ago at the Sportsman Show. I believe Dax was trying to sell you some Rapid Rope, and you looked very familiar to me. So I was trying to remember how I knew you. And anyway,
I was so impressed with Dax. Like, Dax is, I'm walking by with my beautiful bride of 18 years, and this young man, he's out there, and he's like, "Oh, so here, look, here's how it works. It goes this way." And I'm telling Crystal, I'm going, "Honey, that kid's got some chops, man. Like, that kid's got it down."
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Wait a second. Where I know you, And then you're like, "The Apprentice." And I was like, "Yeah, The Apprentice." I go, "But I really want to see." I ended up buying four of them.
Yeah.
So I bought four of them that day because I was like, "This is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. And I got to see it." Then you reached out to me.
Yep.
I think Dax got my phone number.
Dax got your contact. Dax.
Dude. Dax is like the broker of all this.
Yeah.
How young was he then?
Oh, gosh. 12 or 13. 13 probably yeah, 13. 13.
12 He's 13. A straight hustler. I'm just telling you. That dude could sell. So Dax gets my contact information, says, "My dad needs to call you." My dad's name is Chris Rogers, and he's got this invention called Rapid Rope.
Yep.
So then you gave me a jingle.
Yeah. Then we talked, and we had a couple meetings, and mentored me along the way. It's been a great journey.
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
And before we actually go into the Rapid Rope, I also want to share that leads into your backstory, because you're a lineman.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah. Lineman by trade. I've been in the trade for just over 20 years. And so being in the trade, we always have used some kind of rope or rigging for a lot of applications. And then being a huge outdoorsman, the same suit. And this is a better mousetrap. No knots.
This is a better mousetrap. I legitimately have used it several times. You and I had several meetings and conversations talking about anywhere from ideation to what if and maybe this way. And even talking about direction. What do you do with media? What do you do when it hits? And we went through a unique experience, and you're going through it. I went through it years ago, but you both are going to go through this tidal wave of press because you've been on the Shark Tank. Those of you guys that haven't seen it, pay attention. You're going to see it. But Idaho once again got highlighted in national television, and you've been on the Shark Tank. But more importantly, that you were on the Shark Tank, you're an Idaho inventor.
Yes, sir.
You invented something.
Yep.
Tell us how you came up with it.
Like I mentioned, we always have we always have rope with us for different applications, especially outdoors, around the house, farming, ranching, a lot of the different areas that I grew up, and we always carried utility rope with you. And it was always a knotted mess, no matter how clean you put the rope away. I remember my dad growing up having twine in the back of his truck or in the hunting pack or whatever the case. And it was always a knotted mess. And this has been, probably 8+ years of tinkering and figuring it out and how to go to the next step and how to build that better mousetrap.
Yeah.
And we're very proud of it and proud that it's made in Idaho. And we've used a lot of people from Idaho. We've worked with Boise State, the MPD lab.
Yes, you told me about that.
Yeah, so we worked with Boise State on a lot of the preliminary CAD drawings and 3D prints and everything like that to prove the concept and to improve the concept as well. So
am I allowed to pull it out?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's you guys got to check this out. This is mine. I don't want to ruin it. I love it.
No.
But what? Like, this rope is rated at
1,100 pounds.
1,100 pound test rope.
So it's the same diameter as your standard paracord, which is a 550. Rating, and this is the same diameter. It's double the strength, so it's crazy strong stuff.
1,100 pounds, and look how quick it cuts.
Yeah.
So boom, you just pull it out, and it goes again.
Yep. No knots unless no the knots. One you tie in it.
Yep, that's right. This, when Dax, your business manager, yes. lead salesman, showed me this, it was amazing. I was like, I got to get that. Like, I instantly knew I had to get it. But I instantly knew as well, I was sharing with my wife when you and I started talking. I also knew I have a young entrepreneur. You're a seasoned father. You're a seasoned husband. But yeah. you're a young entrepreneur.
Yes.
That is going to go through the ups, downs, dips, and distractions that I went through. And I instantly knew, I was like, man, that's what we're doing at Inspire Excellence as well, is making sure that we help navigate some of those pitfalls and navigate more towards that opportunity. In Idaho, you got a lot of support instantaneously, like you talked about at some of the incubation clinics that you went to and others. Talk to me about those and how those people helped you get to where you're at.
As in which?
NPD.
NPD.
Oh, yeah. So to start with, when we moved to the Valley, we started researching different firms in different areas that could help us in that. And we came in contact with an individual. He actually molds all of the products now. It's micro molding here in Nampa.
And
does all my molds. Extremely proud of that. And I originally showed him some water bottle samples that I had cut up with some blades using JB Weld and all that kind of stuff.
Get
trying
out
to
of
figure
here.
It out, spinning the cartridges with arrow shafts and yes. stuff like that. I mean, originally when it started.
Dude.
And he suggested, he goes, you know what? You should go and search out the NPD lab at Boise State, and they'll work with you. You know, you're able to work with students as also as seasoned engineers as
right.
well. And we worked through the whole process, and through that started that chain of people and the support that we've had through the entire way of yeah. Of graphics, of figuring yeah. out, okay, what do we want to call it?
Who came up with the name?
I did.
There you go. Jeannie came up with a name. Jeannie got it.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Nope. Chris was very insistent that everything be made in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was maybe disagreed a few times with him and thought maybe we could outsource some things. But as it's, you know, as we've gone on this journey and we've had people like Mel in the NPD lab,
yes.
Man, it's been like our family, and yeah. it's amazing the support we've had from Idaho. We're really proud that our labels, everything comes from Idaho. Yeah. We're manufacturing in our shop right now, and
it's a pimp logo too.
Yeah,
like I gotta be
yeah.
honest, the yeah. logo's yeah. the logo's logo. Legit.
Yeah,
love the colors. And we just had a few people when we were at the SHOT shows you know, request other colors, so yeah. we're super excited that orange just came out.
It like pops. Within a couple weeks.
Yeah,
it pops.
Yeah,
but you know, I went through that, and Crystal and I went through that as well. When you start out as young entrepreneurs, the first thing you're cash crunched.
Yeah.
You're working in scarcity versus the mentality of abundance. And you're going, oh my gosh, I just got to, and you hear these buzzwords, outsourcing, you hear these, it's cheaper
yeah.
to go offshore.
Right.
And so we went through the same thing. I'll let you know that right now. Like, we're like, oh, well, maybe we should, and maybe we could.
Yeah.
But if you get back to them, you know, the core roots, which yeah. Chris has stuck to, and I can see that, then you go, yeah, but this is our community.
Yeah.
And it's longer, it's more tedious, but in the end, you triumph a lot better. And I will say that yeah. I went through that too. We all have as young entrepreneurs and getting seasoned through that. Because there is the what ifs. Well, what if we went this way, we'd save ourselves 10 cents more. Or what if we went
right.
that way? And you guys got what, 4 kids?
5.
Yeah. Just 5.
5 kids, just yeah. 5. Just 5. Just 5
no
kids,
biggie.
Yeah. Yeah, no biggie, you're fine.
Yeah.
And that's I've talked about that on the prior episodes, but talking with you guys, and you, by the way, Chris was out on my property today. So when I say he's a lineman, he's like legitimately a lineman. I'm trying to figure out how to bury some cable. And he comes out and goes, oh, we're going to stub this out here. Troy, you do this there. Ah, hell, you can just dig it yourself. You go rent it at Tate's. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I literally, we'll finish this and I'll ask him again what he
yeah.
told me to do.
Yeah.
I forgot what you told me. Was it 2-inch piping? I think you said
2-inch. Yeah,
yeah, so I got to do 2-inch piping.
2-inch.
But yeah, he was literally out of my property today. But as we're talking, when you think about that transition to go from, yeah, you have a career, you're a lineman,
yeah.
to transition into the deep blue sea of entrepreneurism, there's a risk. There's a fear factor that affects you both. How do you manage that?
We keep talking about it because it's like you said, it's scary. Yeah. It's the deep blue sea. And, you know, right now with the security and having the great job and those great benefits and, you know, loving what you do. Really, I do for sure. We do want to move on someday, but then when is the right time? You know, when do you make that jump in? Right. Into the water. So
Chris has always been a risk taker for sure, more so than myself. And so, I mean, I knew when I married him, life would be an adventure. Yeah. And he's always thinking of the next thing for sure. And I think we've just both kind of adapted that this is like a journey. Yep. And you only live once. And I would rather try and fail than not try. So I think, you know, we'll know when the time is right that we're just completely doing rapid rope and we leave that other job. What's held us there is insurance, to be honest.
No doubt.
To give up those benefits. So we're working on it.
You know, it's funny you say that. My wife, 18 years again, but she still works at a bank. Because of insurance.
Yeah.
And we still get insurance. And we've had some great years. We've had some not so great years. But we made the decision a long time ago on that balance, which was, you know, I look up in the sky and I can count the dollars. My wife counts the pennies and adds up the dollars.
Yeah.
And so she's very detailed. She's very pragmatic. And without that balance, if Chris and I were to start a business by ourselves together, we'd be in jail or broke, right? Just break the law. Let's go. Man, it's fine. But that counterbalance of having and I'll say this, my wife is my beautiful wife, but my wife is my full-on business partner too.
Right.
And I think that sometimes gets overlooked.
Totally.
And you need to know that you are his business partner because he can't do it without you.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. She's my partner in life. And and with this business, you know, through and through for sure. I mean, we couldn't do it without each other. And we talk about everything together and figure out the next steps. And it scares us. But that's part of life and figuring out what's best for the family. And that's one of the things, Troy, that I was raised. And I think that's the hardest is, you know, you take care of your family.
Yeah. Well, it's also when you go from a steady Eddie career into entrepreneurism, the career has a direct path towards retirement and a direct path towards benefits. Entrepreneurism is a blank slate that has opportunity and scarcity. And so when you start thinking about security and five kids, you go, I can see that. I can't see that. I would invite you to think about this. And I say it this way. There's a book that came out locally called ONO. And ONO was an acronym. ONO is also the name of a fish, just you know. It's a Hawaiian fish that means perfection and delicious. Well, this guy, Mark Warnke, an outdoorsman, wrote a book called ONO, which is Opportunities, Not Obstacles. And I just love that.
Oh.
Is if you retrain your brain and you don't see the obstacles of being an entrepreneur, and you start identifying the opportunities. Mm. And so it's opportunities, not obstacles. It doesn't mean you don't take into consideration the risk. It just means that you value what the opportunity is. And if the opportunity is really larger in those benefits, not just financial, but maybe it's more time with the family. Yeah. Maybe it's a family home practice, you know, because you guys are operating out of your home right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like those are valuable times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With all the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all have a piece in it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Dax being the business manager and CEO, future CEO. So
that's what he says. Huh?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. He does.
Does he really?
Totally.
You have to go to school first. And then
we keep telling him he had tests this week. So then he's like, who cares? I'm not going to Harvard. I'm going to be running this company. And we're like, only after your college. Only
after your college.
Yeah.
I will say this, keep him on the track of college, but I definitely think he's got the chops. Tell us about the actual concept, because Dax shared it with me, and then you've shared it with me, which, by the way, Dax tells a better story, so you got big shoes to fill. But the actual concept of the fiber, where did it come from? How did you come up with this idea?
So the rope itself we use a lot in the trade and the utility trade, contracting trade. And so I've used this kind of rope, certain kinds of it, my whole career. And it was something that when you used it, everybody wanted it. And it was like, oh, my goodness. And you tried to get it because it was kind of a one and done.
Right.
And so we combined that with the canister itself.
Right.
And it's made specifically for us. It has a specific strength to it. And the colors now, I mean, it's just great. But the rope itself, you know, the canister's half and then the rope, it's just, it's great. It's insanely strong. It's feels nice in the hand. It holds knots great, but they come out great.
Brilliant. I play a game with my nieces and nephews. We have no children of our own, but my nieces and nephews, I play a game with them and I'll take this, whatever it is. I'll take this cup and I'll put it in the center room. I go, what is it? And it's a cup. I'm like, sure, it's a cup, but who can come up with other things that it could be? Mm-hmm. And they'll go, well, if you cut it in half and you split it, it could be a bridge. If you cut it in thirds, it could be a throwing star. And that's innovation. And what you've done is you've taken a single canister like this exists somewhere, right?
Yeah.
A single piece of rope like this exists somewhere.
Yeah.
A razor blade exists somewhere.
Correct.
But what you've done is you've taken those existing products that seemingly do not go together, do not couple together, and you innovated them into what I believe will be the rapidest growing company in Idaho. I really do. I'm just as excited about it as I was 3 years ago. Like, this is legit. With that, what are the challenges that you guys are running into as entrepreneurs? Like, what are your marketing challenges, bandwidth challenges? What keeps you up at night?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that we have is educating the consumer or showing the product off. It's a show me product. Once you see it, you're able to try it out.
Yep.
It's instantly, you can see the value in it. And so I use this as when we go to like a Christmas show or something and we have our product there and you see a sign or you see an ornament, you can instantly see the value in it. When this is sitting there, people are like a little hesitant.
Yeah.
They're not sure what they're looking at.
They're not sure what they were. But when they try it out and when they see it and then it really sees the value of, oh, wow, that is, I have to have one of those.
Yeah.
You know?
It's consumer education.
It's kind of like the duct tape.
Yep.
It's like, it's 101 uses.
Once you get
anything and everything.
That is a challenge for a lot of entrepreneurs is they'll say niches to riches. And if you say, well, it could be used for everything. How do you explain everything? And that becomes a marketing challenge.
Sure,
totally.
Have you guys read any or listened to any of the books on entrepreneurism, the Lean Project Methodology maybe, or EOS? You should.
Okay.
So EOS is the Entrepreneurial Operating System called EOS, written by Gino Wickman. And that will help you as well when you start thinking about like, hey, how do we make sure we're assured going this? And what they'll talk about and what we talk about, you'll hear Tommy. BVA is the fastest growing development company in Idaho. I'm guessing they've got over close to 2 million square foot of commercial space. But when you hear Tommy speak, it's about the end in mind. And when you're tranching forward with the rope, and you're going, oh, this is going so fast. And as you know, you get on a television show and then everybody's hitting you up. Everybody's talking about this, that, and other thing. But if you don't, as business partners, define the end in mind first, then you don't set a direction.
Yeah.
And EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or the Lean Methodology, we'll also talk about that. And you'll hear me say it a lot, is find out what your end in mind is. Our end in mind is a family-owned business where we can pass it on from generation to generation. Our end in mind is less time of you at work and more time of you at Rapid Rope. But whatever those ends are, you start to manifest. At first, you project and manifest those ends in mind. But then all your marketing and all your operations can start guiding to that. Today, it's a whirlwind. It's tough to... I describe it like trying to grab the money in the money machine, you know, the world.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's grabbing for it and they don't get anything.
Yeah.
It's because all of it's so distractive. Are you dealing with that? Are you having challenges with distraction, or how are you doing good with it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of distractions coming at us right now, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to stay focused and and trying to take care of the immediate, you know, the immediate challenges, definitely. But I agree with you. I love the EOS. You know, I think first and foremost, a company that we do want to grow for our family, but then also through that, and it's always been part of our mission as well, is to give back through Rapid Row.
You know,
definitely, is to give back.
Yeah, I think so. We're a big component of giving back. In fact, when I spoke with you, I said the only thing I ask is that you pay it forward.
Yeah.
Like there was no bill, there was no charge. And we have to start doing that.
Yeah.
I'll say this over and over again. People get tired of me saying it, but the neutering of the American entrepreneur and the neutering of the American male is happening. But we also have the desensitization of giving back. And when you start bringing back country values, and I say that small town country values, which is, hey, I got a man that needs a hand.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give him a hand. I'm not going to let him take advantage of me, but I'm going to give him a hand. You represent that. You come out and you say, hey, boss, I can walk you through the line stuff. And I only needed that little encouragement, by the way.
Right.
It's not like I needed everything. I just needed the confidence to say, yeah, you got it right. You got it right.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. So when you have that end in mind, but you represent it with the core cultures that you guys are living with and raising your children in, and you implement that into your company, boy, it'll rock it.
Yeah.
It'll rock it. How about you? How are you taking it?
Well, good. I was going to add to that, that, you know, I mean, Chris for sure would come out and help you do that anytime, regardless, but he's just that person, right?
Yeah.
Like if we see somebody in need as we're driving along, I know one time we were driving from a funeral and we were all dressed up and he saw some elderly woman out in her yard trying to change her water. And he ran out there with Dax's help. And they, it was like hand lines in her yard or something. And they did them, but, you know, he'll do that. And I am amazed through this process at how many people aren't really willing to, you know, we've sought a lot of help from companies. Like we've called you, you've been amazing and willing to Proof Eyewear. So awesome.
Yes.
Took our phone calls, helped us. We had a meeting with them. They helped us, you know, with the website and stuff. So we're so grateful for those companies in Idaho that are willing to do that and just help
a
guy
to
out.
Help us give back in every way. I mean, that's great.
So we are too. And, you know, we have an end goal with Rapid Rope. We have a plan. We kind of have a vision of where we see the company going and what our end goal is, you know.
How do we find it right now? Do we go to rapidrope.com? Is that what it would be?
Yeah.
Yeah. So rapidrope.com.
Yep.
What's the main use that you are personally seeing it? You know, what are you personally seeing the main use for? I can tell you what we've been using it for, but
We have people reach out to us constantly. I think the biggest is outdoors, camping.
That's the biggest thing.
You know, hunting, fishing, things like that, to where they're backpacking, all those kind of areas to where it's just quick and easy. And then so many people, we've had a lot of reviews and testimonials of just keep it in their truck or their car. And if they go purchase something or whatever, it's just always right there. And it's, I never thought about it.
Yeah. That's my main use is comfort. I have it in the back. I have one in the back of my a toolbox, and then I have one in the center console, and then my nephew and my brother-in-law, I bought them one each, and they keep it in their snowmobiles. And, so snowmobile towing.
Yeah. We have a lot of ATVs, you know, UTVs. And I think one of some of the best comments that we've heard is that we've always packed rope or something with us. And we knew it would be a knot or a mess to get out. So it deterred us from using it. And this is so easy. And compact, it's almost like we want to try and use it or see how we can use it.
We were sledding in right outside of Glacier Park up towards Whitefish, Montana. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not a matter of if, it's when you get stuck, you just get stuck. You know, they're deep. And man, you just pull out the rapid rope and wrapped it around that sled and just pull it right out. Like, and I was, not that I didn't believe you, but I was like, come on, man, we're going to snap this. Like, it's just too skinny. It's not, we're going to snap it. But I double loped it and boom, you pop it right out. And so that's why I say it was great for outdoorsmen that just want comfort to know that I got it. And I don't know what that weighs, but it's a pound.
Yep, 15.3 ounces. Yeah, right under a pound, 15 ounces.
Like that is so easy than carrying this big bulky rope.
Yep.
It really is. So back to business in Idaho and back to your guys' culture and stuff. Some of the challenges that you have experienced was, it sounds like was, I got this idea, but what do I do? And then you're going to have new challenges that are going to come up. It's how do you scale? How do you go from being a mom and pop shop to getting out to the masses? Have you guys addressed those yet? Have you talked about that?
I think
a little bit.
Yeah.
We're working on it. We have a couple plans in place. For now, for like once we reach the next level, and then hopefully, the next step. So
I'll share with you and the listeners that are listening as well. Here's some of my personal strategies, and just know that personal strategies and opinions are like elbows. Everybody's got at least two of them, right? So first of all, what I would do is what I call COPE. COPE is an acronym for me, which is create once, publish everywhere. So this podcast is going to be created one time. Take this podcast and publish it everywhere because it's an endorsement. When you get, and though marketing, it's all about reach. And so you got to figure out how to reach and scalability. It's got to be replicatable. So when you use the digital landscape, you can get a massive reach,
right?
With a fairly limited budget, right? You're still going to have to put some time into it. But I would cope. I would create once, publish everywhere.
Yeah.
And I would take sound bites in anywhere that I'm at. Always brand. So you're branded. You've got Rapid Response hat, Rapid Response shirt. You got Rapid Response, Rapid Rope. Mm-hmm. Look at branded. Rapid Rope. You got Rapid Rope. That's branded beautifully. But find your influencers that can also wear your brand, that can be your brand. Yeah. So in Idaho, there's influencers in the outdoors world. Have you guys met with Jeff Buck at Buck's Four Wheel Drive?
I don't know. We haven't. I haven't.
So there would be a great guy.
Yeah,
so Idaho brand. Mm-hmm. It's Buck's Four Wheel Drive.
Yeah.
So it's all Buck's Outdoors, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like, you know the brand.
You see it.
Like it's it.
It's everywhere.
He's an influencer in that particular industry that you want to be in.
Yeah.
That's the dude you want, a guy like Tommy Ahlquist or a guy like myself. And you want to have that alignment of that meeting. And I would share that with anybody. You figure out where your buyer persona is at or where your buyer vertical is. Find the influencers in that area. And negotiate a meeting and find one, especially if it's outdoors. Like good old boys are good old boys, right? But this is a great feature for one example. Then you think of Snake River Yamaha, for example, Idaho based outdoors company. Get those reach, but figure out that brand. Like how do you get that brand in their hand? By me, you just put it in my hand and that's great. But the leave behinds, how do you get that brand in their hand? And those are your influencers. So I'd say COPE. And then I would say find your brand influencers.
Right.
And then finally, I would say scalability. You got to figure out your process on scalability. Currently, there's a process that you use to develop and put this together.
Yep.
And that process, I don't know if it's scalable or not, but you want to test that process. Because tomorrow, if you get 10 million orders, can you scale? How fast can you do that? And so you always want to look at your scalability in things like that. So those would be some of the quick things that I'd share with you.
Very good. Yeah. Well, scalability, that's something is that we're working on right now, just trying to scale and keep up with everything. But we've moved recently and to the Eagle area. Yeah. And so we have that was one of our next stages of being able to find a place with a shop that we could expand.
Yeah.
And so we have a little property to be able to do that now and help with the next step of scaling. And
another thing I shared this earlier today and I articulated hopefully a little bit better. You don't have to take on long-term debt to get up and running. So you can take on short-term contracts. So maybe there's an immediacy for marketing, for example. You only have to take those on for 30, 60, 90 days, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to sign someone to a career to handle that one unit of time or that snapshot of time. But you do invest in that snapshot of time and say, is it more valuable for me to have somebody else handling this for 30, 60, 90 days? Mm-hmm. Or is it more valuable for me to try to stretch it out?
Right. Okay.
You know, and I would look at short term, like snapshots. And I was the opposite. And that's why I would tell you, like, I thought, oh, I got to hire someone forever and ever. And how am I going to do that? Because I'm sharing my paycheck with my beautiful bride and I now got to share it with this guy. And finally, it took other mentors here in Idaho. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have to do a long-term commitment. Yeah. It's kind of the proverbial, just because you have a hammer doesn't mean everything's a nail. Just because you have a massive influence and influx of media that's hitting doesn't mean you have to hire an FTE, full-time FTE. Maybe you just take on a 30-day contract, 60-day contract. But know what you want out of it. And that's what I was sharing with you earlier today. And I tell you, what do you want out of that? And I would tell all entrepreneurs that, figure out your ask. What is your ask and what is your call to action with your media and with your sales? Because otherwise they're just going to pass you. Sure. You're going to be the guy in the you know, dollar machine trying to grab all the dollars and you're going to miss them all. Yeah. So yeah, I would challenge you and invite you to say, what is the leave behind? What is the ask? And what do you want the consumer and the persona to know? And then define your end in why, your end in mind. And then both of your guys's why. Why are we doing this? That's super important.
Yeah.
There's a why. Like, I want more time with the family. I want this. I want this. And then there's a try. And try is what you're doing 8 to 5 or 8 to 8 or 7 to 9. If sometimes people's try is way over here, but they've defined their why as I want more time with the kids, I want more time with the bride, but they're over here doing the total opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got to define your why and your try, and your try has got to work for your why. Yeah, totally. And I believe you guys, I just sincerely believe you're on it. You are entering the ranks in an honored and a select few of what they call an Idaho innovator. And I think that is just to be congratulated.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. And thank God for you being around as well. And Dax, you get your 10%.
Well, and our daughter Navy has discovered that, you know, she can work for X amount of time if she wants like new shoes.
Yes.
Or whatever.
She wants to go out.
She's constantly like, hey, I'm going to go put in a couple hours out in the shop and then I'm headed to Target.
That's a good incentive for a little bit. Yeah, that'll work. Wait till they ask for a raise.
Yeah.
My nephews discovered that too. And they're like, hey, do I get paid more? Like, no.
Yeah. Oh, they've discovered like what we're paying other people. And they're like, hey, Wait a second.
Well, I can tell you guys that Rapid Rope is absolutely phenomenal from 3 years ago to today. You've been a man of your word, and I believe that your word and the values that you have really translate into Rapid Rope. If you haven't checked out Rapid Rope, go to rapidrope.com. Thank you guys very much. That is Inspire Excellence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Troy.
Good job. We'll talk after hours. Here for a minute if you want, but stick around if you want.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.
All right. Now we just talk. Okay. Like, we don't have to worry, but he turned him off. But now we just talk, and now I can't cuss.
You didn't even cuss.
I know.
I
know. I get so worried about it. Well, it's because I get so worried. Dude, I get so worried about it. Like, man, I'm so worried. Tom Sr., who is Tommy Ahlquist's dad, like, him and I are cut from the same cloth because he's like, I don't give a shit about this. I don't give a shit about that. Tommy, on the other hand, is very, you know, polished and stuff. So, man, Tommy's so polished, but Tommy's dad, I can let her fly.
Let him have
it. Yeah, I can let him have it. But, yeah, it's great. This, I can tell you guys, again, from the time I saw it to the, like, this is amazing. You have to identify, again, you have to identify your end in mind. And that's what I really want to emphasize with you. What is it that you want? There is a dollar amount. Yes. That dollar amount is whatever it is.
Yeah.
That has to be replaced. But that dollar amount that you're getting today has also taken away from some of your whys. So, well, I'm working this much, but I'm only doing this much of my why. So don't forget that even if you make less money, but you get more aligned with your why. So try to weigh those things out. And Crystal and I were the same thing. I was working one career and I was making more money than what I was doing back then, but I was getting ready to switch. And honey, I've got to switch, but we're going to make less money. And she said, but wait a second, we're going to spend more time together. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You're going to be able to go snowmobile like you like. You're going to, I'm like, oh, that is a value. So when you have a value chart and you start start looking at that value, then you go, all right, well, maybe I'm not losing the dollars as much as I'm gaining what I wanted. Right. So make sure to balance really that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dollars are still important.
Yeah.
But just if there's a.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You
like
gotta pay the bills.
But. Yeah, you gotta pay the bills. And then look at, I think it's a licensing gig. My personal opinion. I look at, like, there could be some licensing opportunity. I think that it's a manufacturing opportunity. I think that, I really do believe the world's your oyster. And whatever the outcome was on the show, it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's sure. It's a positive thing.
Yes, definitely.
So it is. But where can me and Tommy, where can we help you? Where can we point you next?
You know, I mean, I think Sunday night. Well,
did you just make that just now?
Yeah.
You're a fidgeter like I am.
I totally am.
Dude, I have to fidget with something.
I think we should know something. This is the scariest part. It's like we have the biggest stage probably that we could dream of.
Yes.
What happens next? We don't know. It's all up in the air, right? So we could get 5 orders or 500,000. Like, you just never know.